I would like to start something new with you this morning. If you've been worshiping with us, if you were worshiping with us prior to my renewal leave, you know that I usually begin by saying, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And I would now like for you to help me with that. So when I say, "This is the day that the Lord has made," I would love for you to respond with the next line of that psalm, "Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Okay, you ready? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, beautiful. I look forward to hearing that every Sunday. It's my joy to be with you this morning and to welcome you into this time of worship. I've had the joy of meeting some folks who are visiting with us, some for the first time, some have been with us for several weeks. We hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place, that you feel welcome, and that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you. One of our practices in worship is to take a moment to register our attendance. So if you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the browser. And if you're with us for the first time online, we're so glad that you're with us. Here in the sanctuary, there's a registration pad that should be making its way down the row. And if you are visiting with us, perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we'd love for you to share a mailing address, an email address, or a phone number, or all of the above, to let us reach out to you and begin that conversation. There's also a QR code in the bulletin that will take you to all the different links to register, to share prayer concerns, to make an offering, and all the things to participate in worship this morning. This is a full and glorious season with many opportunities for fellowship and study and service and growth, and I hope you will take the time to read all the announcements that are in the bulletin in detail, but I just want to highlight some things that are coming up. Today, in Reed Hall, we have our ministry market. These folks will be with us through the season, with opportunities to buy gifts for our loved ones that will go to support their ministries. And these are our partners in ministry, so we encourage you to visit them. In the library, there is a letter writing station. In keeping with our theme of messages of hope, there is an opportunity for you to write a note to one of our church members, to some of our guests for Room in the Inn, and other folks who could use a word of hope in this season. So it'll be open all through the season, so you can come in on a Tuesday and write a letter in the library if you'd like. This afternoon, we have our Advent wreath-making workshop at 4 o'clock in the gym. Great fun for everyone of all ages. Then next Sunday at 5:30, we'll have our traditional candle lighting service, which is a decades-long tradition here at West End. I do want to say a word. If you are able to carpool or ride share, we highly encourage that. Our friends and neighbors at Caterpillar are no longer able to help us with parking on these big events, so the more we can carpool and share, the better. Then on that Wednesday, the 18th, is the service of the longest night, which you can read about in your bulletin. And then just a big reminder that the times for our Christmas Eve worship services are new and different this year. We have a 3 o'clock child-led service. A 5 o'clock, this is the new edition, a 5 o'clock service with communion and candles and sermon and all of the things. And then at 10 o'clock, not 10:30 anymore, 10 o'clock, we'll have a service with full choirs and all of the liturgy. So next time you're brushing your teeth, 3, 5, and 10. 3, 5, and 10. Just repeat it to yourself, and then you'll show up at the right time and help others to remember that as well. We're hoping that 5 o'clock service will really meet a need in our community and beyond. In this season of Advent, we are listening to the voices of the ancient prophets of Israel. Our guide this morning is the prophet Malachi. So let us open our hearts and our minds to hear the word of the Lord through this ancient prophet.
We light this second candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of peace for the coming of Christ into our world. Now, Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways will be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.
Join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. God's love shines upon us. God's love refines us. Trusting that God's love is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we come today rough, broken, and unfinished. We do not love you with our whole hearts. We do not love our neighbors, and too often we do not love ourselves. Cleanse us, purify us. Give us the gentle love your pure peace, and your shining hope. Let our hearts be steadfast and sure as we go about our days, knowing we are held in your kind and loving hands. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ has died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and a reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Jamie and Matt Quasek bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism. Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and are given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price.
Jamie and Matt, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. My friends in the congregation, it is now our turn to make our vows and our promises. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this beautiful child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Me? Yes. And what name have you given your daughter?
Elizabeth Graham Rose.
Elizabeth Graham Rose. I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you and be your friend and advocate all the days of your life. Amen. Okay, Miss Elizabeth, we're going to move a little closer to Mommy and Daddy, and I invite you to place a hand on her. Take her little hand, Pastor Amy. Elizabeth Graham Rose, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay. Do you want to be up? Do you like being up? Oh, let's be up. All right, Miss Elizabeth, we're going to go say hello to your church family. Mommy and Daddy are right there, just a few feet away. But look at this. If I turn around, ooh, look at all those beautiful people. This is your church family. And these are the friends who are going to teach you all about how much God loves you. They're going to teach you how to follow Jesus. Some of them are going to teach your Sunday school, children's choir. One of them might even be your confirmation mentor when you're 12 or 13 years old. And they're going to learn from you too. So let's listen as they rise in body or spirit and make their promises to you and to God.
Members of the household of God, I commend Elizabeth Graham Rose to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Elizabeth Graham Rose, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Printed in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your hope to come into the world. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If you'd like to read along, please turn to page 778 in your pew Bible. See, I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers and their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change you. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have returned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
I'll invite all the grown-ups to be seated. If there are children who want to come forward for a special moment, come on down or over. And if you're worshiping online today, you can get a little closer to the screen. We'll wave to you and have a special moment together. Good morning. Glad to see you today. Come on up. Come on down. Whichever direction you want to come from. Glad to see you. You can sit anywhere you like. So one of the things that's important to me is to try and keep my body healthy. So I have a goal that I want to be able to stretch and be able to reach things. And one of my goals is I want to be able to keep touching my toes. Can you touch your toes? I touched my toes at 8:45, and I think I broke my microphone, so I'm not going to do that. Well, oh, you know what? Let's see if I can slide it around my back, because I want you to see me touch my toes, and you can't tell if I do it or not. There, I touched my toes. Yay! And one of the, thank you. Thank you. You understand how hard it can be. Sometimes I need a coach or someone to come along and help me and say, oh, you're not doing that quite right. You need to correct this part. You need a little feedback around that. And so I think about that and how sometimes to get where we want to be, we need people to help us. And we need people to correct us sometimes. Like maybe you have a friend who says, you know, that wasn't a very nice word that you just used. Or maybe you have a teacher who said, you know, it's good if you share your toys. Or maybe your parent tells you, you know, it's important to eat your vegetables. It's important to listen to people when they tell us things like that. Makes me think about our life with God, that sometimes we need to hear correction. We need God to help show us when we're not doing things quite right or how we could do things better. Because our hope is not just to be able to touch our toes, but to be able to love better and to be able to stretch. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that you will help us grow in our love for you and for other people and for ourselves. Help us to stretch our arms open wide to grow the love in our hearts. And when we need to be reminded or corrected, help us to listen and to learn and always know that there's more that we can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for listening. If you're 3, 4, or 5, or in kindergarten, you can go to children's church. Are you 3? Then yay, you get to go to children's church.
I'm 3.
And you're 3. I know. I remember when you turned 3. It's a good day. One of the things I loved doing while I was on my renewal leave this fall was reading. I love to read. Almost every night before I go to bed, you'll find me reading a book. And I read all sorts of books. Honestly, most of it was fluff. I'm just going to confess that. You know, books that have a happy ending, mysteries, cozy mysteries, whatever it may be. I read some really good, sort of more robust literature. I read several books to help me in my spiritual life. Henry Nouwen, Cynthia Bourgeau, Barbara Brown Taylor. And then I read one book that I thought might help me do my job a little bit better. It's by Brené Brown. Anybody ever read or listened to Brené Brown? Yeah, lots of Brené Brown friends. B. Brown. She's wonderful. She began her career in the social work field. She's a researcher, a speaker. She really launched into fame after a TED Talk she did on shame. And if you've never seen that TED Talk, I highly recommend it. But in more recent years, she's been giving her attention to organizations, companies, nonprofits, and groups that want to develop a more healthy environment, a more healthy culture in their workplaces. And talking about good communication and feedback and building trust and that sort of thing. So it's an incredible book. I need to read it once a month, I think. But one of the parts she was talking about that I needed to hear the most was the importance of giving and receiving feedback. Good leaders, it's called Dare to Lead, is the name of the book, and good leaders are those who can graciously offer constructive feedback to the people around them. And I am terrible at this, y'all. I find it really difficult to say hard things when I'm sitting one-on-one with someone. I worry about hurting someone's feelings or doing damage that can't be repaired, but she's very clear that this kind of feedback is necessary. Clarity is kindness, she says. If you want someone to get better and learn and grow and improve in what they're doing, they need to have that feedback and correction and work alongside. And so that's one of my commitments going into this new year, is to learn the skills to do that a little better. But if that's important for a company or a nonprofit to do that work, how much more important is it for us in the faith community? Because our end goal in the church is not just to put out a better product or have more happy, more efficient folks who work with us. Our goal is to be a sign of the kingdom of God on earth. Our goal as followers of Jesus is to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And that takes constant work and attention. And it requires feedback from time to time. Sometimes we need correction. Sometimes we need a prophet, a peer, the scriptures, or someone to hold a mirror up to us to see. Sometimes we need to repent. The second Sunday of Advent is often the Sunday when we hear from John the Baptist, who's calling the people to repentance. And that word repentance literally means turning. We need to turn back toward God. And not just once, but again and again and again. If we're going to move toward this goal of what John Wesley would call perfection in love. That's where we're headed, y'all, if you didn't know. We're moving toward complete love. Not perfection, like you never make a mistake, but perfection in love. And so as part of that journey together, John Wesley understood that we needed each other. We needed accountability. We needed regular feedback. And so when his ministry began and he was preaching to thousands of people, he knew that he couldn't just leave town and let them figure it out by themselves. No, he set up small groups, class meetings, where they would meet every week and talk about how have your practices been? Have you read scripture this week? Have you prayed? Have you done good for the poor or the needy? Have you visited the sick? Have you visited or written letters to the prison? How is it with your soul? I mean, we're comfortable doing that in Weight Watchers, but we're a little less comfortable doing it in the church. Accountability in love is hard, and it's hard for me. As a preacher and a pastor, if I could preach one sermon to the world, it would simply be, God loves you. This unconditional love of God, as I talked about last week, which is always moving toward you, always moving toward us, always reaching out in love to embrace the world. But if my preaching stopped at that, if our message stopped at that, it would be incomplete. Because what remains is our response to that love. God pours out mercy and grace and love toward us. And if we simply took it and went off and did whatever we wanted to without any accountability, it would be what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called cheap grace. It's just a transaction, and God is just a vending machine to give us what we want. But we are invited in the life of faith to accountability, to respond to that love, to allow God's radical grace to change us. And it takes a lifetime. So we have one example in the prophet Malachi this morning of a moment when, on behalf of the Lord, the prophet speaks a word of accountability. He speaks a hard truth to the people. Let me tell you a little bit about where we are in Israel's history. No one's quite sure when the book of Malachi was written, but most of the consensus is that it was written at a time after the Israelites had been conquered by the Babylonians, temple destroyed, Jerusalem in rubble, but the Persians beat the Babylonians, and decided to allow the Jews to return to their homeland. And so this is a time of rebuilding. The exiles are returning, the temple's being rebuilt, and yet the people still feel forsaken by God. They look at all the other countries around them, especially Edom, and they see them thriving, and they cry out to God, "You have not been faithful to your covenant. You've turned your back on us. You've forsaken us. Where are you?" One commentary I read suggested that Malachi is almost like a courtroom drama where the people are putting God on trial. So when the book of Malachi begins, let's imagine the people have rested their case, and now it's God's turn. Oh boy, be ready. I just imagine in my head this picture of God standing up from the table, rolling up the sleeves, saying, "Okay, now it's my turn. Let me tell you my side of the story." But where God begins, the very first thing God says in the book of Malachi, "I have never stopped loving you. I have loved you." And that Hebrew can be translated, "And I love you still, and I will always love you. My love and faithfulness is not on trial, is not in question. I have always loved you. But you have not always followed me." In the words that Connor read, God says, "I have not changed, but from the very beginning you have not obeyed my statutes. You have not walked in my way. You have chosen to worship other gods or follow other political leaders or do all of these other things. But if you will return to me, I will return to you." And all of these hard words that God says through the lips of the prophet are all spoken in love, with the ultimate desire and the ultimate goal to be embraced again, to start over and be fresh and move closer toward that love that is perfect. And there's a beautiful image that the prophet speaks from the word of the Lord. The messenger is coming. And as Christians, we read through this and we see visions of John the Baptist. We see visions of Jesus turning over the tables in the temple. The prophet says, "He will come like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap, and he will sit and polish you like silver and gold." Fire. Fuller soap is like lye soap. I don't know if any of you have ever been washed with lye soap. Anybody? I haven't, but I hear it stings a lot. It's kind of like you skin your knee on the playground and the nurse, school nurse, puts on that orange iodine stuff. Ow, it hurts. It hurts, but it heals. It hurts, but it's what's best for us. And so this refiner's fire is not a fire to destroy. And the fuller soap is not to be washed in order to ruin or condemn, but to purify and to bring back that clear image of God in which we are created. And Malachi says God will sit. God will sit down and take God's time polishing us and working on us, changing us and transforming us. And sometimes that can be painful. That hard feedback can hurt. But it's for the sake of love. And it's not just once. It's not just that we turn to God, we repent, and then that's it. That's the end of the story. It is an ongoing daily process of refining and learning and being corrected. Father Richard Rohr, who is another writer whom I love, says that he prays every day for one good humiliation. How open are we to hearing that feedback from other believers that we walk alongside, from the scriptures, from our prayers? I worry that we're in a moment right now in our culture when, especially among Christians, we get hardened, and we can be so defensive. We feel like it's more important to be right than to be loving. And so we stop allowing ourselves to be challenged and stretched and to grow. And sometimes that growth and that stretching hurts. We got to let go of things we thought we knew. But that's the invitation that comes to us on this second Sunday of Advent, to stay open, to be willing to say, I could be wrong, to allow the voice of the prophet and the Holy Spirit to keep working on us and refining us, moving us toward perfection in love. It's a long journey, and there's not a day that's going to arrive when we can say, I've made it, I'm finished. The work is never finished. But the work, the feedback, the invitation is all given to us in love. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith together in the words of the creed found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect and creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them out loud or not. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray for throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. If you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are little cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can fill that out and place it in the offering plate as it comes around to you. I ask you also to look in the bulletin and take note of the prayer requests that are listed there. Please keep those names and situations on your heart this week and pray for them. Pray that the realization of God's presence for each of them is involved. Our prayer today is written by Reverend Melanie Lindbergh. It is a call and response kind of prayer. So you are invited, if you would like, when you're bidden, to say, hear us and help us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the prophets, give your church courage to speak truth and to tell of your love. God of the prophets, hear us and help us. God of the angels, give your church voice to sing your presence into the world. Give the world a freedom song and help us to speak peace throughout the earth. God of the angels, hear us and help us. God of Mary and Elizabeth, give your church grace to be pregnant with hope and to bring forth life for a barren world. God of our mothers, hear us and help us. God of Zechariah and Joseph, give your church dreams and vision and the courage to follow them. God of our fathers, hear us and help us. God of the shepherds, give your church humility and to all who sit in darkness, alone and afraid, a light from heaven proclaiming peace. God of the shepherds, hear us and help us. God of the Magi, give your church gifts and the will to leave home to find you among the poor. God of the Magi, hear us and help us. God of the Holy Innocents, give your church power to stand against violence and to protect the powerless. God of the Victim, hear us and help us. God, our Sovereign, You are always coming into the world. Come to us now, soon, and forever, and let us receive you as the child of holiness and the wind of change, through whom you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you who are joining us online are invited to give via the options that are listed on the screen. If you're here in the sanctuary, we'll pass the offering plates around down the rows. You can also use the QR code that's in your bulletin if you would like to give online. And as we pass the plates down, just encourage you to remember that God multiplies these gifts and makes us a beloved community together. Today, may we give with joy to God.
this second Sunday of Advent, we remember that one is coming into the world with unconditional love and radical grace. May we not let that love and grace not change us. May we be transformed, that through us, the Spirit of Christ may continue to transform the world. Go in peace.